650. So today, five Arab countries severing all ties with Qatar, or Qatar, however it's pronounced. Peter Brooks is with us to explain what's happening. He's a senior fellow in national security affairs at the Heritage Foundation. Peter, great to have you on WILS.
Good to be with you.
I mean, I've even heard it called Qatar. What's the proper pronunciation of that country?
Well, I think it's more towards Qatar, which is, I like Winston Churchill, who said you can pronounce foreign words any way you like in your own language. So it's up to you.
Have you ever seen this? I mean, has this ever happened before where these five Arab countries have basically totally cut themselves off of one other?
Well, not to this extent. A couple of these countries, three of them, cut off relations in 2014, lasted for 6 to 8 months. And then they reestablish relations, but this one's a bit more draconian. They're saying, we're stopping diplomatic relations, bringing our ambassadors back, they're sending yours home. We're cutting off air ties. We're telling all your nationals to have 14 days to leave our country. That's kind of a bit of a mini embargo economically. So this is a pretty serious thing for Qatar.
Why is this happening now? I mean, what happened?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of irritants out there that between these. They're all Arab states. They're all Sunni Arab states. But Qatar shares a major natural gas field with Iran, so they're a bit less strident in their criticism of Iran. Some of the countries there, whether it's true or not, have perceptions and beliefs that they are supporting Iran's agenda there. Some of them don't like Qatar's support of the Muslim Brotherhood, which some of these groups, like such as Egypt, considers it to be a terrorist organization.
Well, we do too, right?
What's that?
We do too, right?
Well, Muslim Brotherhood is not on our list of terrorist organizations, of foreign terrorist organizations, according to the U.S. government.
Yeah, should they be?
Yeah, I mean, some people may perceive it. Some people may believe that, but it's not. We have an official list. The U.S. government has an official list, and the Muslim Brotherhood is not on it. But they also support Hamas, which is on our foreign terrorist organization, on our foreign terrorist organization list. And there are also, maybe people have heard of this, Al Jazeera, which is the official mouthpiece of the Qatari government. And there was some criticism, or supposed criticism, or accusations of criticism of the Saudis on Al Jazeera, and it caused quite a stir. So there's a number of issues out there that led to this, based on what we can see from the outside.
A military base, right? The U.S. has a military base in Qatar. How significant is that base?
Our largest military base in the Middle East. It's like 10,000 soldiers, and then there's the Al Udeid Air Base, which we use for a lot of our strikes against ISIS. So the United States, and they built these bases after the Gulf War, the first Gulf War.
So where does that leave us? What kind of position should we be taking?
Well, I think Secretary of State Tillerson, had it about right. He said, yeah, okay, folks, it's, time to come to the table and talk about these issues. We really don't want them to be divided. If we're concerned about Iran, if we're fighting the Islamic State, if Al-Qaeda hasn't disappeared, these are people we want to work with. We certainly don't want to see our bases closed down, which are so critical to our operations in the Gulf and our concerns about Iran. Right. So there's actually some people out there, I was kind of surprised, that are kind of implying that, Trump gave Saudi Arabia the go-ahead to do this during his visit, and I don't see that at all. I just think these issues had come to a head. There was like this most recently. I said there was some stuff that was published on the Qatari government's website that they're claiming it was hacked and misinformation put out there, or disinformation is probably more appropriate.
Those seem like small things to decide to completely, pull all your citizens out of a country and shut down diplomatic relations over. How do you make sense of that?
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to is where you stand is where you sit. If you're in Michigan, it's one thing. If you're in Riyadh or some of these other countries or in Cairo, it's a whole different thing. They see it with a great amount of intensity than perhaps we do at a distance.
This is going to be like 2014. You said it went on for 6 to 8 months, and then everything was back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it's like I said, I fond of the idea that crisis, and this is a bit of a crisis, you know, there's two elements of it. One is risk and one is opportunity. So the risk is that it fractures the Arabs when they're facing a number of threats, fighting a war in Yemen, Iran's desires for hegemony in the region, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, et cetera. Okay. And then there's opportunity. Maybe this will bring people to the table to really and finally and permanently hash out these differences. Okay.
And for us, in terms of U.S. interest in the area and our own security, does this have any major impact in your view?
Well, I mean, it could if they were to close the base. You know, that would be, and I think that's one of the reasons that the United States has kind of said, okay, folks, it's time to get together and talk about this. And, you know, we might come into and play some sort of facilitating role in getting these groups to talk to one another. But
Do we not provide some protection for them by being there, though?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to the Gulf War. But we also have tremendous advantage. There's a tremendous advantage to us, too, because we were able to deploy our forces there. You know, it's our largest air base in the region, and it's our largest army base, is my understanding. So it's pretty critical. So it's mutually beneficial. But, you know, there's a lot of concerns out there, and some of it's, you know, allegations, accusations. I don't know. It's hard to get to the bottom of it. I don't know what they know inside the U.S. government. Obviously it's important to our fight, especially in Syria, and our concerns about Iran in the region.
When you say allegations, what's the most troubling allegation you've heard about? What's that?
The most troubling allegations is that private money out of Qatar is supporting groups like Al Qaeda and ISIS.
Do you think that's true? Is that likely the case?
You know, we have seen private money be used to support Al Qaeda out of the Gulf region for many, many years, including out of places like Saudi Arabia. But like, I'm not inside the government, so I can't tell you, you know, what the intelligence is saying. But there's plenty of allegations. I can't give you evidence of it. So that's why I say allegations and accusations of that. But these are the allegations and accusations I think people are very concerned about. You know, so of course we would be concerned about the government certainly do that. We're worried about private money doing that. But this is something we've been battling for many years, and there's a major effort at places like the U.S. Treasury worried about terrorist financing, because these terrorist groups do need some financial support, although you can do a lot with a limited amount of money, you know, a suicide vest or a car bomb. But if you have more money, and one of the reasons ISIS was so potent was that it was able to sell oil and make a lot of money that allowed it to buy weapons and other things to support its efforts.
Okay, because, I mean, it's Egypt, it's Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates. And now, when you look at the United Arab Emirates versus Qatar or Qatar, is it because they share the oil field? Is that why Qatar has a different position than the Emirates do? Or?
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, there's a lot of concern in the Gulf region among the Sunni Arab states about Iran. Obviously, there's differences, you know, Shia Persian versus Sunni Arab. Qatar is a major, maybe the world's, at one point it was the world's largest producer of natural gas, shares that with Iran, so it's got economic interests, as the world's highest GDP. That's a small country, you know, 2.3 million people, very high GDP because of its natural gas reserves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons. You know, the Saudis are worried about Iran. It may be an idea, if you're not with us, you're against us. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
So if you're 50% with us, that's not good enough. You're 70%, that's not good enough. You got to be 100% with us. And Saudi Arabia has a lot of concern about what Iran is doing in Yemen, in the eastern provinces of Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain. So there's a lot of stuff going on there that, you know, if you're in Riyadh, you're concerned about.
Peter Brooks, Senior Fellow in National Security Affairs at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. You're welcome.